She can kill with a smile, she can wound with her eyes, and she can ruin your faith with her casual lies. And she only reveals what she wants you to see. She hides like a child, but she's always a woman to me.
Hi, how are you? This is Meir Zarkey, the director of the original I Spit on Your Grave and the executive producer of the remake, and we're happy to be talking with you on the Vault of Horror. I wanted to ask right off the bat, how did this remake come to pass?
Well, good question. Throughout the years, there are various companies, many small and major companies that watch me to do the remake. I was interested mostly in doing a sequel, not the remake. You know, I thought they cannot outdo the remake, and they cannot outdo the original. The original is what it is, and why touch it? You know, let's do a sequel. But they all said, well, you know what, let's do a remake first, and then we'll do a sequel. So I thought that, marketing-wise, it was a good decision, and that's how it came about.
So originally you wanted to continue...
To do the remake, I agreed, and they have the option also to do a sequel as well.
And you wanted to, but you wanted to continue the original story. That was the original idea?
Absolutely. What happened after Jennifer took off in the motorboat?
I'm sure that everyone who's seen that movie has wondered the same thing, you know, if she could possibly have been able to get away with doing something like that, you know?
I don't know in what form you put it. They're getting away with doing it. Maybe you're correct. The question is, what happened thereafter?
Yes.
What happened thereafter? You tell me, Brian.
Well, I mean, I always pictured a scenario of her kind of facing trial and what kind of questions would come up. You know, there's the very famous tagline for that movie, which was that no court, I think, you know, to paraphrase it, that no court in America would ever convict her. You know, it would be interesting to put that to the test in a sequel.
Right, no jury in America.
Right, no jury, that's right.
You're right. And you agree with that?
I mean, personally, yes, and I do, and I think even more so, I have to say, in the original version. One of the things I noticed about the remake is from my point of view, it almost seemed like the retribution that she gets is far more...
Did you see the remake, Brian?
What's that?
Did you see the remake?
Yes, I did.
I didn't know. Good. So how was this feeling? What was the reaction of the viewers there?
Well, it was interesting to me because the website I do is a horror movie website, so I'm very familiar and comfortable with seeing horror films or those types of films, and I think there were a lot of people there that maybe necessarily weren't, because there was certainly a lot of shock and a lot of people really, I think, being pushed to their limits of what they could tolerate. There was, you know what, I now that you mention it, I think there was one person, and I noticed him because he was sitting in the front row, so it was impossible to notice him, and he did, and I think it was because, it was during the revenge scenes, and I don't think he could take anymore. I think that's all it came down to, is that he literally could not take anymore. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, and you know, that's one of the things that I had mentioned with the remake is I do feel that the I think that the rape scene that's portrayed in the remake is slightly maybe a little bit not as quite as intense as in the original, but the flip side of that is I think that the revenge and the retribution is actually more intense and more over the top than what Camille Keaton's character does in the original.
Yeah, too innocent. It's for, even though it was a completely different style, different approach from, you know, her point of view to the remake. In the original, she used wits and sexuality to corner them one by one and get rid of them one by one. Here it's a bit different.
Yes.
And you tell me in what way it is different, Brian.
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that because it's one of the things that I wanted to mention to you, a big difference between the original and the remake. It does seem like, yes, in the original, she's using her sexuality more as a weapon, where that does not really play in this new one. It seemed to be more plugged into kind of more of the mentality of movies like Hostel and Saw, the torture porn category, where it seemed like it was much more premeditated and very carefully orchestrated, and not so much playing into the sexuality of it. That was a big difference I noticed.
And how do you accept that, though? You don't. Which one do you prefer?
I have to say I'm definitely more comfortable with the remake's version of it, which is ironic because it is harder to watch in a lot of ways. The violence and the things that she does to those men, it almost gets to the point where you do start to wonder if they deserve to be even they deserve to be treated that way, you know. And I did feel, for some reason, I felt maybe a little more comfortable with it. And I don't think I'm the first to say this, and I was curious to ask you about this. I know we don't have all the time in the world. I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of the criticisms that the original has had and still has. The accusations of, you know, misogyny, and that it's very much not pro-women, but actually an anti-woman movie in the sense of degrading the character. I mean, how do you feel about that? How have you felt about that over the years?
You'll be surprised to hear that if somebody tells me that this is a misogynistic movie, I agree with him. That's what he feels, and that's what his taste is. And, okay, he's entitled to it. Because if I tell him, no, you're wrong, and it's not misogynistic, and he says, yeah, I saw it this way, and it is, fine, so it is. Well, what difference does it make to me, personally? You know, if we can both go to a restaurant, and I'll eat whatever I eat, and you tell me I don't like what you eat, I like what I eat, and what you eat is horrible, and I don't like it. But I, how can I tell you, hey, Brian, what you eat is horrible?
Right.
I don't like it. Don't eat it.
Well, I mean, what was your take on it, though? I mean, that's obviously the opinion of others, but I mean, do you look at it that way, or were you was that not at all what you were trying to do?
Man, come on, you give me the answer to that. You sound like a very, you know, intelligent, highly intelligent guy. Do I believe it is misogynistic? I mean, how can it be misogynistic if the woman eventually is up in arms and she wins at the end? And that's why the movie was called Day of the Woman.
Right, but I think...
Giving it a title such as Day of the Woman doesn't justify it. You know, I can call a mouse, I can call it a cat, and it's still a mouse. It was by any other name, so to speak. So we are talking about now about the movie itself. Forget about the title. The title is now called I Spin Your Grave. You know, does it make it worse? Does it mean that it is misogynistic? Does it mean that it is anti-feminine and anti-movie?
I think if I
had some people say that this is the best ever or the first ever pro-feminine movie that was ever made.
Well, here's the thing. And again, this is I'm very familiar with a lot of the criticisms have been raised against it over the years, and in comparison to the remake, I think certain things have been changed. I think part of the issue, and I'm sure you've been through this probably a million times with people in the past, that people have had with it, is that the way that she achieves her revenge is by using her sexuality against the people who violated her, which I think is what a lot of people found to be offensive and unrealistic. And I mean, I have to be totally honest, and I respect your work, and I did. And the first movie I feel is a landmark, but even I, at times watching the film, have had that feeling of that the character somehow is exploited.
Those people who against it are Buddhists, and they don't want to admit that there is something in our life and in any other creature's life, whether human or animal, there is something that is called sensuality and sexuality. If we didn't have sensuality and sexuality, the human race and all creatures in the world will stop existing. You know, we'll be like the moon. Okay, so what's wrong with that? She's using, by the time she's exacting a revenge on them, a sexuality means nothing to her. It only becomes a weapon to turn it against them. So she's sexually and sensuality, she's dead. Completely dead.
Okay.
It's a, if sexuality would have a brain, it's a dead brain. Okay. So now she's just using it as a weapon against them. And you mentioned yourself the word weapon earlier in the conversation.
Yes.
So that's what it is. And all my kudos to her. If I, you know, I see it now from the sideline as somebody else produces a movie, and I say all my respect to her. Yeah, good. You know. She does to them, she's using the same weapon, the same fire that they use against her.
Yes,
they wanted their sexuality, they wanted to enjoy it, they will enjoy it now in their own way.
I do see what you mean, and you know, again, I don't mean it in disrespect, obviously. I have occasionally, you know, when watching the film, have had to struggle with that as a viewer. You know, is it misogynistic? And honestly, you know, at times I felt that it was. I mean, I have to be very honest, but that I have, you know, found it to be that way. But you know, hearing you describe it, I see your point of view, and I do see what you're trying to put across there. I obviously not everyone has always seen it that way, and for one reason or another, that element of it was seriously downplayed in the remake. And I'm curious, I guess, of what your opinion of the finished product is with this new version.
Again, rephrase. What is the question, though? Rephrase it, please.
What I was just talking about the whole aspect of whether it is misogyny or not. And again, I mean, I have found it to be, personally, watching the movie. I mean, I have to be honest, watching the original one. And again, it doesn't completely turn me off to the movie. I don't know what that says about me, but I mean, I have found that. And watching the remake, I found that to be much less the case. So I'm curious to...
You know, if I would put on trial for making this movie and making it misogynistic, I would prefer that my jury, my 12 members of the jury, would be only women.
Really? Why is that?
Because only women can decide whether it is misogynistic or not.
Okay, I mean, I think many of them would agree, though, and I mean, that's not...
How do you know many? Did you take a count? Did you make a survey? How do you know many of them?
I think if I were... I mean, I can't pretend to be a woman, but I think if I put myself in the shoes of a female rape victim, I don't know if I would be comfortable with that movie. In fact, I would be probably far less comfortable than I am as a man watching it. You know,
it's like saying, if I will put myself in the head of a horse, I'll think like a horse. You cannot. You're not a horse. You cannot put yourself in the head of a horse. You know, and let me hear this from women.
And have you not?
Victim. She represents femininity. She represents womanhood. I want to hear this for women to see if they decide by a majority vote that this movie is misogynistic and remain to be this way, and I did that purposely, fine. Then I'll accept it. You know, I'll still declare honesty.
Right.
You know, I'll still declare innocent, you know. But they can, they're entitled to their opinion. But again, for me, women's feminine opinion was more important to me more than men, because she is the victim, and she does to them what she thought that she has to do as in a matter of retribution to what they did to her. So again, Brian,
yes.
Talk to your girlfriend, talk to your wife, talk to your friends, lady friends, find what they say, then call me again.
Okay. Well, the one thing I was just building to was that since the new one, there are these changes that we've talked about, and there's certain things that they did differently. How do you feel about the finished product of this remake? Are you happy with it?
I think it's terrific. I think it's very, very well done. Story-wise, the theme, the characters, I think everybody gave a wonderful performance. I think that Sarah Butler should get two awards. One for having the guts to take on the role, the other one for acting in this movie, taking the part of, playing the part of Jennifer Hills. By the way, she did win, at After Dark Film Festival in Toronto. She won Best Actress for this movie. She deserves even the Oscar for that. I think it's the only difference that I feel there is the matter that we just discussed, using the sexuality and sensuality. Do I miss it there? Maybe. Well, but it's different. It's very faithful to the original, but it's not the original.
Yes.
That's all I can say, but it's very well done.
Okay, I know your time is limited, and I want to thank you very much for talking to me, and also, not being afraid to talk about some of these topics. I'm very glad to have the privilege of being able to speak to you directly about some of these issues. Thank you.
My pleasure. Likewise. Thank you very much, Brian.
All right.
She never gives in. She just changes her.
Hi, Stephen. This is Brian Solomon of the Vault of Horror. How are you? I'm okay, and I'm excited to be talking to you because I just had a chance to catch the movie at a screening last week. So, I have a lot of thoughts and stuff. And again, for the record, we're talking to Stephen Monroe, the director of Of I Spit on Your Grave, the remake of the cult classic original, which is going to be coming out next month. And I had an opportunity to catch it at a sneak preview, as I said. So I have a few. Well, obviously, the first thing I'd love to know is how were you brought on board to this project?
I am Cinetel. Lisa Hansen and Paul Hirschberg had acquired the rights from there to do the remake, and I was actually in their offices talking to Neil Hellman, who was one of the producers on the movie, and sitting on his desk was the Millennium Edition of the DVD of the original. I said, "What's this doing in here? Who's this?" And he said, "We just acquired the rights to it," and I said, "You guys have to let me direct it." And it took me like another year lobbying myself, and I finally met with Lisa and Paul on it after they had their first draft of the script. They let me read it. I met with them and gave them, my take on the script and, what I, how I saw the film visually and, and my thoughts and concerns and all those kind of things, and they said, all right, the gig's yours.
Well, so then it was something that you were really pursuing, that you had been interested in even beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, I never really thought anyone was going to remake that movie. But mm-hmm. You know what? To be honest, no remake surprised me at all anymore. So, I never thought that would come across my plate as a possibility. And, I grew up in a film family and, all through the 70s and the early 80s, I was, watching, a lot of button-pushing films and things like that, and disturbing films and films that make you think and everything. And, those are the type of films that attract me as a filmmaker, things that push buttons. So when I saw this was going to get remade, from a directing standpoint, I wanted to get my hands on it and do something, put my thumbprint on it.
Right. Well, were you at all, obviously not, but was there any intimidation by the subject matter and the expectations that there would be in a remake? Because, I have to say, even though you say no remake shocking, I think this would be the one that even when I heard this, I was just, so many, especially horror films are being remade, but this one was like, wow, they're remaking that. I never saw that coming, you know? So, I mean, was there any intimidation on your part?
No, there wasn't any intimidation. There was, you know, there was just immediate concern from the get-go of making sure that, you know, I walked that really fine line between making the fans of the original happy, and obviously, you know, it's 30-some-odd years later after the original, there's going to be new horror fans coming to the theaters to see it and making them happy too. So there was just concern with that because it's a huge juggling act. Especially being that, you know, the original wasn't really a horror film.
Right.
It became, you know, adopted and embraced by the horror community and became a horror film. So then to remake it specifically as a horror film and to keep both of those audiences, you know, happy and satisfied, and especially the fans of the original who, you know, are very precious to it, and they should be. But, you know, so it was really a concern. There was never any intimidation because, you know, I mean, I think the minute you feel intimidated as a director, you're going to start making mistakes.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think, as you said, this actually is a lot more of a horror film than the original. And I hadn't really thought of it that way. Because one thing that I noticed, and I actually just got finished speaking to Mayor Zarkey, which was an interesting conversation. The thing about this new one is that the rape stuff, okay, is I don't want to say downplayed, because that's the last word I would ever use to describe that scene. But I mean, compared to the original, it is slightly downplayed. But the revenge stuff, okay, is actually more over the top and more intense than which I did not see coming than in the original.
Right.
And I'm curious. Right. I mean, was that from your point of view approaching this? What were you hoping to do differently, and do you feel like you succeeded?
Well, I mean, most of. You know, most of what I set out to do was, you know, as far as changing things was, you know, mostly in the look and the feel and the performances of the film. You know, I mean, we knew the decision was made even before the first draft of the script was done, way before I was on board, that, you know, because of the new wave of horror fans that are going to be out there waiting to see this, that, you know, the expectations for the revenge sequences were going to have to go up. The original, they were very, very brief. I mean, outside of, you know, the awesome Johnny bathtub scene, they're really quick and brief, especially the last two. I mean, you blink and they're over with. So we knew we wanted to bring those up, and we also knew that there were some storylines that we wanted to add to and address, you know, that, you know, we felt were missing in the original. So we had more content going into the film. We didn't want the running time, you know, to be as long as the original. Mm-hmm. You know, our running time is still fairly long for a horror film. It's almost an hour and 45 minutes. But, you know, with adding things, with adding certain content, you know, we just felt that the, you know, I wanted the rape sequences to be just as disturbing or more, but we knew they were going to be a little bit shorter. And also because we added two very, very long, lengthy, you know, more like assault and torment sequences that weren't in the original at all.
Yes.
So with all that stuff added in there, the actual portions of the rape sequences, you know, were a little shorter. They're two very different, you know, rape sequences, the way Mayer did his and the way, you know, I did the ones in the remake. You know, I feel like they're both very, very impactful. I get more upset watching the remake rape scenes, and I get a little more disturbed watching the original ones. So it's kind of, you know, there was never an intention to really tone anything down. It was just to do them differently.
Well, one thing that we had talked about, and it's fresh in my mind, obviously, is, you know, everybody always talks about the questions of misogyny, especially with the original, and It's interesting to me because I felt like in this new version, there was the sexuality of it was downplayed a lot, which honestly, you know, and obviously this was a little point of contention, but I mean, I felt that was a positive choice. I have to be very honest. And, yeah, because I think
that was a really, really conscious choice. It's funny because when the final meeting that I had with Lisa Hansen and Paul Hertzberg before they gave me the film, I said, that's one thing that I would do completely different. I didn't like that in the original, to be honest. Mayer and I have talked about this. We've all sat around tables and debated it. It was Mayer's choice and his that was, you know, that she should use her body and her sexuality to lure these guys back in.
Right.
And 100% from my perspective, you know, I don't want to talk for Lisa and Paul and Neil Elman and other producers involved, but the overall feeling was that we didn't want that. We didn't feel like she needed to do that. We didn't like that she did that. I felt in the original that I lost some empathy for her when that started happening, and I did not want that to happen in this at all. You know, and I felt that, you know, and I think anyone who's been through anything remotely similar to what the Jennifer character goes through would agree with this, is that if something like that happens to you and you go back after people, you don't need your body to lure them in.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you're a different person. You know, and I wanted her to physically go after those guys with a vengeance, not sexually.
That is one of the ways in which I think that the remake, if I can say so, I do think that the remake is a superior film. And it's partly because in the original, I do feel that it was intended, a lot of it was intended to titillate in a way and almost kind of play into a male fantasy of that the, you know, that the woman that you violated secretly wanted you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And so I guess the interesting thing here is that given all the stuff that's put back in or that's in there, that it's being released unrated, I think is very impressive and I think is a bold move. I'm curious as to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a very bold move on behalf of, you know, producers at Cinetel and Anchor Bay.
Yeah.
I lobbied for it a bit. I think everyone's mindset was there anyway. You know, I mean, the R-rated version of this, you know, was just not as impactful.
Yes.
And you know, the minute you start, you know, we spent so much time being so careful to make sure that the you know, that the fans were getting what they wanted with this movie, old fans and hopefully new fans, that, you know, to then just all of a sudden go, okay, well now everything that we were careful about, you know, a major percentage of that is gone now, and it's just not as impactful. It just didn't really make any sense. And you know, luckily, Lisa Hansen and Paul Hertzberg and everybody over at Anchor Bay agreed with that. And I hope it sets some kind of trend. I mean, it's another hard thing. It's like you read everything online and all the blogs and everything, and all the horror fans are going, you know, oh, this is just going to be another watered down R-rated version, and they're all mad. And then, you know, we announced we're releasing it unrated, and now everyone's mad saying it's not going to be in enough theaters because it's unrated. So.
Can't
win. It's kind of a juggling act with horror fans, but you know, we're trying to do what we feel is going to be best for them. And you know what? If the response is good in the release, you know, in the unrated release, once the response is good, the other theater chains have to respond. And you know, this could be more of a trend if people would get to the theaters, you know, to see these unrated versions that are in the theaters. That the theaters, you know, from the theaters that have accepted it, you know, and if those theaters fill up, then the other theater chains have to, you know, will start accepting it too. I mean, it sucks, but that's just kind of the way it goes, you know?
Yeah, and it's something you don't see that often now because of the way the rating system is set up, and, you know, you just don't see unrated releases happening all that much because of the fear, like you said, that it's not going to get as wide of a release as you want it to get, so then it becomes the domain of direct to DVD, you know? So I'm hoping that this sets a trend, quite frankly, because I'd like to see more of this happening of filmmakers and more specifically of distributors not being afraid to do that.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I mean, you know, it's it's going to start with horror films, and it's, you know, it could start with this one if people react properly. I mean, if people don't react properly to this and people don't bother, you know, getting out there and going to the theaters that are showing it, you know, every other studio, every other producer is going to go, hell no, we're not going to make the same mistake that they did with I Spit on Your Grave. But if it goes well, everyone will start saying, let's make the movie and just release it.
Yes. Yes, and hopefully that will be the case. And I mean, just judging by the quality alone, you know, I reviewed it last week, and you know, I think it's a very powerful film, and I hope that people do give it a chance. Obviously, the subject matter is very challenging, but I think, you know, honestly, even for people that are not quote unquote horror movie fans, that they really should kind of open their minds and give a movie like this a chance, because it really pushes the boundaries, I think, in a brave way, and I found it to be, to put it bluntly, a better film than the original, and that rarely happens, in my opinion, with a lot of these, you know, so-called horror remakes or thriller remakes. I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk about it and discuss some of these issues, and obviously the movie provokes a lot of strong feelings, so thank you for talking.
Well, thank you, man, and also, by the way, yeah, your review last week was great, and I appreciate that, because there's a lot of uninformed hating going on out there online right now, and yours was a very informed, smart review.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
All right, take care.
Take care. You should take what you give her as long as it's free. Yeah, she steals like a thief, but she's always a woman to me.
Well, we're talking with Sarah Butler, who is, of course, the star of the remake of I Spit on Your Grave, which I had the opportunity to see last week, and I enjoyed quite a bit. I have a few questions for you, obviously, which is why I'm talking to you, but I'd like to know, first and foremost, how did you get involved with this project, and were you at all anxious about it?
It just came through like a regular audition, you know, just, hey, Sarah, go to this time, or go to this location at this time, and, you know, read these couple pages of sides, and so I went, and the sides didn't really give that much away about the project, but then I had another audition after that. They called me back to do some more, and they gave me the script at that point, and of course I was shocked, and really apprehensive, but I had my manager read it. He's usually very protective of me and the choices I make, so I knew if he could okay it, then it would be good, and I was actually pretty shocked to see that he was all on board from the moment he read it. He told me his actual words were, Sarah, you have to do this, you're going to be so badass. And so I just kind of gave it a little more thought and realized that it actually, you know, despite the tough material, is an amazing arc to be able to play, and going through so many emotions and completely life-changing circumstances, and that's the stuff that actors dream of. So, you know, the more I thought about it, the more excited I got about it, actually.
Well, I guess, were you familiar at all with the original movie before this?
No, not at all. I actually didn't even know it was a remake until, I think maybe in one of my auditions they mentioned something, and then, you know, I got cast, and I was supposed to leave in just a few days to go shoot, and so I made it a priority at that point to go rent it, and made sure I watched it before we went to shoot.
Well, in your own performance then, I mean, if since you had seen it then by the time you began, were you trying to do that was different, say, from what Camille Keaton did in the original, playing the part of Jennifer Hill?
Well, I never really had the intention to do anything differently. I think that, especially because I kind of developed my perspective on it as my own Jennifer, you know, beforehand, having read the script and auditioned a few times. I already had in my mind, I already knew who I was and the story that I was telling through this, you know, character of Jennifer. So I didn't really change much to watch her film, to watch her portrayal of Jennifer, except for there were some things that I picked up on that were really striking about her performance, and that I felt like I would want to do a bit of a throwback to in my performance, you know, kind of more for the fans than anything else. And I don't know if they'll really come out that noticeable or not, but they're there. I mean, I put them in just certain things. Like, I remember after, like, the second rape sequence where she's out in the woods and they leave her, she's stretched over a rock and face down, and her hands are both reaching out and her fingers are spread, and it just looks like she passed out while she was exerting the maximum amount of strength that she had to try to get away. But she never gave up until she passed out. And so I really thought that was striking. So when it came to the point for us to shoot that, I said to Stephen Norman Rowe that I wanted to be, when I was laying out on the ground, I wanted to have my hands in that same position. And you might not be able to notice it from the camera angle, but it's there.
No, I did actually notice that, and I was going to ask if you could mention something specific that you were talking about, and I do remember seeing that in both versions.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people that are fans are going to notice things like that, and things that were done differently. You know, obviously, the revenge scenes in particular were done very differently than in the original. They were much more kind of elaborate, and I would say even probably more violent than in the original version.
Totally.
Yeah.
Completely more violent. I mean, we added a complete torture element in there that wasn't there in the original. Not to mention that, you know, a huge change that was made in our version was that I didn't use my sexuality at all to get my revenge on these guys. It was all complete brute force and cunning that I used to capture and torture them. And that was just something that when the story was being developed, I know that the producer, Lisa Hansen, was completely adamant about that she didn't find it believable that a woman who had been raped by these men would ever be able to or want to at all, you know, look at them in a sexual way, even if it was for the purpose of revenge. So, you know, that was kind of her idea from the start, and I know that when Stephen jumped on board as director, he completely agreed, and then, you know, they, of course, discussed the topic with me once I was cast, and I was like, I couldn't see it any other way, which was funny because then, you know, after I had already become accustomed to our version, and then I went and rented the original, I was like, whoa, that's weird, she's in a sleep with Matthew? What? You know?
Yeah, that was not so much a part of the remake, and I guess that's probably the biggest difference between the two movies, you know, the way that all plays out. But I wanted to ask specifically, there's some very difficult stuff in there to watch, obviously, and the rape scenes in the original and in this version are very hard to get through. I'm curious, as a performer, how is it difficult at all to play scenes like that from your perspective? Do you have to, you know, on the set keep things light and in a happy mood? You know, I'm trying to imagine what the mood is like on the set, or does it ever kind of spill over and become traumatic in any way, or is that naive?
No. I mean, you're right on. I mean, it did completely spill over. Well, I'll start from the beginning. We did keep a very reverent kind of attitude there on set. It was very quiet when we were shooting those scenes on those days. Very quiet. They actually would set up a little room, or like at least a corner of a room where I could be quiet, where I could just lie there and be quiet and, you know, stay in this kind of zone. And just be isolated, which was really key for me. But, you know, as far as performing it, it wasn't too difficult as far as, like, the acting goes, because it was genuinely terrifying to be surrounded by all these guys, and there's, like, real matches being flicked at me, and there's, you know, a real baseball bat being swung, and there's real guns, even though I knew they're not loaded, and it's just, it's scary. They kind of formed this pack mentality and were circling me, and just, it wasn't hard to be scared in that situation, and it actually really took me over, and I completely lost control of everything. I felt so out of control. I like, you know, a person's instinct in that situation is to be like, stop, everything stop, but I knew that that's how I had to feel. I mean, that's how Jennifer should be feeling.
Yes.
You know, in that situation, and so you just, I just had to roll with it, and I think the first time we shot, when they, you know, the very first time they come in and start attacking me, our first take of that, and I think it was a close-up on me, it went so out of control, you know, it was just electric, like, how much those guys had, like, formed this, like, group mentality, and then how much I was just, like, totally freaked, and I was sobbing. Steven just loved, I mean, he loved and hated what was happening, but he knew that it was exactly what we needed, so I think he actually kept rolling, like, maybe 2 or 3 pages past where he initially had told us that we were going to cut, and we all just kept going because it was just, like, so real. And at the end of that take, I couldn't stop. I just, he yelled cut finally, and I was like, hold on, I'm going to cut in a second, you know, like, I have to, you know, I was like, this sounds stupid, but I have to cry it out, like, I'm not done yet, you know, so it took me about 10 minutes to kind of calm myself, at which point I had to go into my isolation room and get ready to do it all over again.
So in a way, then, I guess, the intensity of it and the real emotion of it actually helped the performance in a way, even if it might not have been, you know, it might not have been the easiest thing to go through.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I had to, you know, surrender myself to. I knew that that's where I had to go to shoot this movie. That's what it's all about. So I, you know, I was ready to just completely go for it, I guess you could say.
Well, And I guess one other thing I wanted to get to before we run out of time, and this is less of a factor in this remake, but I'd feel I'd left something out if we didn't bring it up, especially since you're the star of the film, and in general, I Spit on Your Grave has been looked at as some people have looked at it as a misogynist film, or you know that it's even though it was called Day of the Woman originally that it's anything but. And I'm curious, you know, and I can't help feeling, especially with the original, I've felt that at times watching it, you know, it's uncomfortable. And I'm curious from your point of view, what your take is on all that as a woman and as the star of the movie.
Well, I mean, I think there's just as many people who view it as feminist, and I can definitely see that perspective. I mean, I tend to look at it more of its entertainment, and it's literally a very personal story of one person's, the attack on one person, you know, an individual. That's kind of how I see it. And then that person's determination to go out and survive and, you know, kind of bring her own justice because of what she's been through. So it's, you know, having played the character, it's like I see the story through my eyes, and it for me is a very personal story, a very personal journey. But just the fact, if I step back and look at it objectively, I mean, just the fact that you know the person who was attacked got to come back and wreak even more havoc on these guys and come out victorious in the end, I could see it more as a feminist film than anything else. I mean, you just have to stick it through. I've been hearing a couple people have, oh, I couldn't stay, you know, some guy, some other interviewer is asking, telling me his girlfriend walked out in the middle of the film. I was like, well, why would she do that? She she has to stick through the whole thing, she'll be so happy she did in the end. You know, that's what you have to go. You have to go on the ride. You have to go through the whole shit show so you can get out the other side and be right along with Jennifer on that trail of revenge and be gung-ho the whole way. And you will be if you stick it out.
Yes, and I think it's less of an issue with this movie, and I should make that clear. And when I reviewed it, I said the same thing. It's less of an issue here. If anything, I think in this version, the revenge is played up more than the rape, whereas in the original, it seemed to be the other way around. You almost felt in the original that those guys didn't quite get enough of what they had coming to them. And in this one, it's so beyond imagination. It's really much more intense. And again, I think the emphasis is placed more on the revenge. Wouldn't you agree?
I would totally agree. That was important to everybody involved, you know, that that was equaled out a little bit. And, you know, made so that there, you know, that I got to have my fun too.
Right.
So that's why the amped up revenge, for sure.
Yeah, and how were those scenes more fun to play in a way, as sadistic as they are? I mean, what was that like to play?
Yeah, I guess you could say they were fun. They were more fun than being a victim, but it was also a bit more pressure, you know, having to control every scene and, you know, just being totally in this state of mind of, like, someone who, you know, is a little bit beyond repair.
Yes.
I mean, yes, you should be rooting for me along the whole way, but still, you know, I think hopefully you get a sense too of like, whoa, she's really messed up. Like, I don't really know if I agree with all this, you know, like there's something wrong with her now. And,
yeah,
and
no.
So that was kind of fun to play those little tweaks, you know, there was a little more subtlety that was involved in acting out those scenes and you know, at times even a little bit of humor, kind of, you know, obviously dark humor. So, you know, it's fun to, like, be able to add in those and, you know, have the majority of the dialogue and the scenes. And, you know, it's kind of like playtime after a rough couple of weeks of being the victim.
Yeah, I can see that, and I mean, you know, in a way, by playing up the violence so much, it almost, as much as you do want to root for her and you do want to see those guys kind of get what they have coming, it is very hard to watch, and you almost get to the point where you can't even root for her anymore just because it's so harsh and it's so sadistic. I mean, that's subjective, but it becomes so far that you almost can't take it anymore, and you do realize that she's become this really damaged person, you know?
Totally. And, you know, I think it would be really fun to be able to explore who that person is a bit more if, you know, if we got to make a second one of these. It would be a completely different movie, but I think we could really address some, you know, some really interesting issues there. Like, what exactly happens to a person who's been through this and, you know, what are the stages of healing, or is there even healing that can be attained after something like this?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential that could be explored in a sequel, honestly. I'd be interested to see it, even the legality of it. Does she get caught? Does she stand trial? You know, there's the famous tagline that no jury would convict her, you know, and I was talking to Mir Zarki about that, and it would be fun to find out if that's true or not, you know, in a sequel.
Totally. Maybe it was true in 1978, but who knows if it's true today in 2010.
Yeah. Well, I thank you very much for giving me your time, Sarah, to talk about the movie, and I appreciate taking the time to discuss it with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Really nice to talk to you, too.